This is our class number one of our public speaking with your spirit guides. Today's date is July the 6th, 2017. So Mary, you just let me know when you've got it all printed out. In the meantime, here are a couple of things for you to have available. Number one is to be in the Facebook group. I'm sure you know these things by now, but I just want to go over them. And also to have access to your workbook, which you're working on right now. For you to be able to have access to those two bonus handouts that I have all over the place. You know, it's in the member page, it's in the Facebook group. And these are from Suzanne Evans. Have you both seen those? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. And for you to have those available, because we're going to be referring to them towards the end when we are doing our homework setup. And the other thing that I would like you to have available are your warm-up documents. And, of course, we have them in the Facebook group. I just want everybody to have easy access to their own and to each other's so that when we go into the exercises, you can use them as reference tools. Is there anything else before I go into stating what the purpose is and us doing our alignment? Does anybody have any questions about materials, anything?
Nope.
No. Okay. Mary, where are you at with your printing?
Bet she's on mute.
Okay. So, Mary, can you hear me, honey? That's interesting. All right. So I'm not sure what to do. Mary, can you hear me?
Ask her if she's on mute.
Right. Ask you if you're on mute. Oh, no, she fell off altogether. She's not even on. All right, so what I'll do then with you, Barb, dear, is let's have you get started with your, there she is. Where are you at, Mary, with your printing out now?
So it's a third of the way through.
Okay. And, well, it's okay if it is going on in the background. We can still go into the soul alignment first. Can you do that without being distracted, Mary?
Yes.
Okay, great. So let's begin with all of you going through the pieces that have hopefully become part of your daily practice, you know, similar to brushing your teeth and brushing your hair, which would be the grounding, surrounding yourself with the blue flame, and anything else that you have remembered from other classes of ours that you want to implement, calling your soul home, and then sitting in the center of your head, and then calling on the transmissions of grace. So do you feel ready to go into that protocol?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So you know that I will be asking you for a before and after. And so why don't you take a quick scan inventory of those sensations in your body, your mood, feeding of your thoughts, and then go ahead into your protocol. And when you're ready, just say ready, and you know where we'll go from there.
Ready.
Wow. Great. Mary, how are you doing, sweetie?
Ready.
Okay. So let's hear before and after. Who wants to go first?
Well, I was trying to do my alignment before our call so that I did have a head start. Just sort of, you know, rushing around using the last few minutes and then saying I'm going to settle down. And so then becoming very, very peaceful, very relaxed breathing, tingling up my body. So just very relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And anything particularly about your mood, your attitude towards life, did you notice any shift in that?
Well, an eagerness for our class has bubbled up.
Since you activated your protocol?
Yes.
Ah, that's them too. And also your soul coming closer to your conscious, to your human. It's hard to put these into words at times, but your human awarenesses and faculties. Great. Anything else, Barb, you want to say as to a before and after that you really found particularly noteworthy?
Well, just starting ahead of time really made a difference in being in the mood, in the swing.
In the, what was that last word, flame?
In the swing.
Swing, yes. Beautiful. Okay, thank you, my dear, and thanks for being first. Usually when Steve's with us, he's always the one that's first, so we'll see who the Steve stand-in is.
There's no stand-in for Steve. He's the best.
What?
I say there's no stand-in for Steve. He's the best.
Right. Who wants to channel Steve? I'll have to tell him that sometime soon. Yeah. Okay, Mary dear, you in terms of your before and after, and if you've noticed any type of shift in your outlook on life and so on.
Well, I definitely had a before and after because the day kind of got things piled on and added frustration when I thought it was going to be just a simple matter of reviewing what I had written and sending off my document, and it didn't happen as easily this morning. So apologies about not turning things in. But when I got back after I did a discovery session and I went to a networking event, and when I got back to the computer and just plugged things in, then it went in. And then I was feeling like I was on the treadmill and like, then sitting down and sending down my grounding cord and just breathing and the blue flame enveloping me and, calling my soul home and breathing even deeper and relaxing into, okay, I'm I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. And the transitions of grace coming and saying, yes, this is what today is all about. So be present in this moment. And you, so there's, I agree with Barb, there's an eagerness and anticipation of, oh, what's going to happen now? It's the excitement of, oh, yes, you know, the hands going, and then my transmissions of grace is just like, yes, now pay attention, be in the moment, and let's play.
Wow, okay, beautiful, so. Beautiful.
Yes.
All right. Well, where I would like to go first is to the photos that I chose for the pinned post that's in our Facebook group. So have you, of course you've seen them, those three, that collage at the top of the Facebook group page?
Yes.
Mary, do you know what I'm talking, thanks Barb, do you know which one I'm talking about?
Take your passion and make it happen.
Yes, and then they, obviously you know which one I mean. So I'd like, I'd like you all, now, why I'm doing this is just to start building a cohesive energy, and I would like you to both tell me how you reacted to those three graphics. Whoever wants to go first.
I have to go back to mine.
Hang on 1 second. Sorry. Barb, you know, I know Mary knows, but Barb, you know that if you click on that, each of those graphics, they expand, right?
Right.
Okay. So you got a chance to see them full size, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Good. Okay. Go ahead, Mary, dear.
I just like the juxtaposition of them and the movement of the stairs and the beauty of the spirit in the corner with that wonderful, it's a bubble and the effervescence of a bubble. And so there's a playfulness and an energy that it's just, oh, you just want to walk right into it.
Mm-hmm. And what about the phrase from Flashdance?
Oh yes, passion, make it happen. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been singing.
I would pay to hear you sing that and be a fly on the wall, Barb. That's fabulous.
It's such a great song from a great show. So
yeah. Okay, and so how did those three make you feel in terms of eliciting emotions in you?
It was excitement of what's at the top of the stairs.
Mm.
It's underscoring you, your passion, and you can make it happen, and then the spirits are there to guide us.
Right, exactly. Wonderful. And those three women in that graphic is each of us, is the way I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a main guide that's showing us greatest beauties and possibilities. Wonderful. Now, how about you, Miss Barb? Tell me, please, tell us your reaction to the graphics and then the overall impact of the collage together.
Well, I was very taken with the blue stairs and the clouds and going toward the sun. It's a beautiful image, and it could also be the parting of the Red Sea. But we'll stick with heading toward the sun. The the spirits, I hadn't seen large enough before, and It's really a beautiful, beautiful image. So like a rainbow, and yes, the spirits and the herder, the herding spirit. I had noticed that at the very top of this course, there were all of those guides.
Yeah.
Across and trying to figure out who they were. And then, yes, take your passion and make it happen is a great theme.
Yeah, and it's why we're here.
Right, right.
And so how did all of them together as a collected impact, what was it like for you, Barb, hon?
I don't know that I thought about them as a collected impact, other than that there were three very, very great images. But I do see how they interact, that the spirits are headed off into the bubble, into the rainbow, and presumably then that will take them up the blue stairs. And all the while they'll be singing, "Take Your Passion and Make It Happen."
Good. Yep, I'll buy that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So my choice of those graphics when I was guided to them was, again, the theme of heaven to earth, and more than ever, bringing our passions into our life is one of the ways we are bringing heaven to earth. And then, of course, the guides and going up into the higher spiritual realms to get information and then bring it down. So the stairway was going up to get the information and then running down to bring it here on planet Earth, that type of thing. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let us go into the purpose of today's course, of this course. And then we're going to look through that workbook. Is your workbook done, Mary?
No.
How much is left?
No, I'm only on page 19, so I have 20 pages yet.
Okay.
But I have it up on the screen, so.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say, let's just use the Facebook one then.
Yeah.
That's what you mean by up on the screen from the Facebook
right.
group? Great.
Right.
And also you could go to our member webpage and download it there and open it up on your computer. So there's lots of, I tried to get at it from every possible scenario. So here is our purpose, and what I'd like you to do is close your eyes and notice how you feel and what comes up for you, because I'm going to ask you. This session, this course, is all about getting triggered in deep soul places. So there's going to be a lot of me asking you these kinds of questions of how did that make you feel, what did that bring up for you, and what types of images did you get. So the purpose of this course is to support you in being able to take all relevant steps in building an intuition-guided presentation-related platform. Presentations include public speaking, online, virtual, and all in-person workshop-type vehicles where you are delivering content to audiences, students, clients, customers, consumers of all aspects for your sales delivery. This course focuses on that aspect of your intuition guidance pertaining to connecting with and receiving messages from your spirit guides and your soul. So, let that sink in, and then tell me what came up for you.
Well, it's exciting to me that speaking could be spirit-driven and intuition-led. you know, that the mind isn't the only thing operating, and maybe it's not going to be operating. That it's a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. And how did that make you feel when you were hearing all those images and concepts? Can you tap into what kind of emotions you had, Barb?
Well, there was a momentary, oh, gee, I don't know if I'm going to hear anything from it, my intuition, but I told that to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And just trust.
So what kind of emotions came up for you?
A momentary fear and doubt,
mm-hmm.
but then relaxing into it and just letting the words wash over me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. How about you, Mary? What came up for you?
It was an incredible relief that I don't have to do this alone. And there's so much opportunity out there when I'm open to the different avenues.
Wonderful. Yeah, all true. And what about emotions? What kind of emotions would you say got triggered, came up to, gurgled to consciousness as I was reading that to you?
There was this thread of, gee whiz, can you get excited about living your dream?
Mm. Aw, yeah. Now, this would be right about the time to do it, too. So, what I intend in this purpose statement is to create this alchemy between sales and inspiration from one's intuition. That's really the overall deep, deep message of this course, is to have a presentation that is inspired from higher realms be what gets sold, what gets transmitted to the listeners. Does that make sense, ladies?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So now let's go into some housekeeping, and we're going to take a look at the workbook because there were a couple of typos from the versions that you were initially sent. We found some typos. However, on the member page and now in the Facebook group are the correct cleaned up versions, but since you were working off of the original ones, I just want to point this out so that when we start working with the workbook, you won't get confused at all. So let's look first at page 21. Are you all at 21?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. That bullet should say educate.
Yep.
Okay, good. Then go to page 22, and just let me know when you're there. Just say
yep.
There. Okay.
There.
Oh, yep, there. Okay. That word should be invite.
Ah.
Yeah. And then 23.
There.
Thank you.
There.
Okay, that last bullet should say motivate. And now we're going to go to another section and we'll be done cleaning this up so we can so we can get started. Now the next place is let's go to page 30. and scroll down to page 31. Just let me know when you're there.
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 Okay. All right. That word should be educate. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then page 32.
Yep.
Okay.
There. Invite. Great. Thank you. Invite. And then the next page is 33. Is motivate. Mary, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, is motivate. Those are the only changes. And again, on the revised copies, all of this is cleanly laid out. So I wanted to cover that. And now I want to do a little feedback about what your experience was with the warm-ups. So the way I want to do that is I'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with each warm-up, where you'll comment first on your experience of warm-up 1 and then warm-up 2 and then warm-up 3, okay? You guys ready for that? So I would suggest that you open up your warm-up documents if you feel like you want to have your memory jogged. Because the questions I'm asking for each of those warm-ups are, what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about your mission? And what did you learn about your connection between your mission and whatever your talk topic is? Now we worked on 3 talk topics, so just focus on 1. So again, what I'm going to be doing is asking each of you to share with us, you know, what did you learn about yourself in warm-up number 1, warm-up number 2, warm-up number 3, and what did you learn about you and your mission, your understanding of your mission? And then finally, what did you come to understand between your mission and your talk? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, great. I just want to do a little disclosure. I may go a little slower in terms of how I'm talking because there is so much information that I am attempting to, like, do a zip file in my spirit of all this information, because I'm really pulling upon business operations and very mental organizational types of information, and also this very expanded spiritual information. And it may sound like I'm going slower than usual, and that's the reason why. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first thing is warm-up number 1. And as a reminder, warm-up number 1 had to do with you contacting your gatekeeper and having your gatekeeper bring you a specialist that had to do with your public speaking intentions and goals. That was one thing. And then the other was to, you know, describe this spirit guide and how you felt emotionally when you connected with that spirit guide to the best of your ability. And then, you know, highlights like you did in your homework, highlights of any conversation points that took place between you and that spirit guide, and anything else that the spirit guide told you pertaining to you having a better understanding of your purpose-aligned audiences, where to find them, steps to take to reach them. So go back in your memory and refer to your notes if you want to as to what was that whole thing like for you. So who would like to go first on warm-up number 1?
So I'll go first. My warm up number one was interesting because I had my brother show up telling me I was doing a good job, and he liked that I talk about him. And he said, "I'm not your guide, but I want to love you in this space. I wanted to talk to you."
Mm.
And then my public speaking guide just has an initial. She's so cool that she's just G. And she was just like, I'm just the embodiment of your confidence. And so what I...
Wait, sweetheart, hang on. Embodiment of your what?
Confidence.
Ah. Yeah.
And there was such alignment with the mission of me being committed to helping women's voices be heard and women be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just affirmation and clarity.
Mm-hmm. And did you get any further insights, like in step four of the warm-up number one, talking about purpose-aligned audiences, where to find them, how to reach out to organizers, that sort of thing?
I didn't have any specific direction other than, you know, this, you're on the right path.
Wonderful. Now, is your brother on the other side?
Yes.
Ah, I didn't know that. If I knew it, I forgot. Well, that's exceptional.
My older brother.
Uh-huh. Congratulations for opening up to the realms like that. Good for you. Okay, Miss Barb, let's hear, my dear.
Well, I was having some trouble getting a specialist to come along, but I finally did just say, all right, I'm waiting until somebody shows up. And my specialist guide is named Speakeasy.
What was that about a speakeasy?
That's my guide's name, Speakeasy.
Oh, whoa, I love it.
As in easy to speak, not some drunken bar.
Well, but you see, we don't know that completely. See, I know you well enough to know that you've got quite a sense of humor. And I wouldn't be surprised if you did have some guides that play around like that. So I would just suggest that you stay open and, you know, on your own time, talk to that. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. And on your own time, ask what else might be behind that chosen name.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a conversation.
Yep. Okay.
Because your alter ego, to help you loosen up and not be so hard on yourself, might just be a little drunken gal running around. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you for letting me interrupt you. Please continue.
I'm going to call it S-E. S.E. said that I don't ask and I don't put myself out there, so that's why I don't have gigs.
Mm.
Asked me with whom I like to work, and I mentioned that I liked working with the faculty group that I worked with a couple of months ago. I had been to a Kate Beaters event a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, which one?
Conversations to Clients.
Okay, that's right. She's out there in Massachusetts.
Right, yes, yes. Somebody on the East Coast for a change. S.E. reminded me of some people I haven't contacted, and that I was being one person I wasn't contacting because I assumed she was busy. And, of course, now I could say, well, it was the 4th of July weekend, blah, 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 blah. So now I have to, S.E. has given me a kick in the pants.
Well, what was your guide, what was S.E. telling you about that?
Had asked if I had reached out to her, and I said, no, not yet. And S.E. said, why not? And I said, she's probably busy. And S.E. said, you think she doesn't have 30 minutes to talk? And S.E. then kept pressing me on some of the other things that I was meaning to do and hadn't done.
So hang on one second. This is very revealing. So what would you say was the overall message that S.E. was giving you in that conversation?
Get out there and be visible and ask and just do it.
Because you can.
Yes.
And because I'm with you also to make it easier.
Yes.
Ah.
Okay. Yes.
See, that's the part, now, three different thoughts. That's the part that I keep showcasing to all of you and my other clients, which, as I've said many times before, is why I take the time when we do the soul alignments to ask you the befores and afters, because it is so easy to run over the fact that we actually have a spirit that is communicating with us, and that we are receiving that communication, we are understanding that communication, and we can tell that 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 communication is helping. It's so easy to just, you know, push that off as either no big deal or whatever. I'm not finding the words to capture what I'm really trying to say, but I know you guys know me well enough to know what I'm trying to say there. You are not alone. And just as Mary was saying, I don't have to do this alone. For you, Barb, letting that in is going to be a big part of your healing and your confidence building. It's just to allow yourself to feel and to feel that you have communication with loving, benevolent beings that are here to uplift you. And that is a very profound awareness when we really let it in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And so was there anything that she said that was particularly catalytic for you?
Well, S.E. asked me about what I'm offering, what value I provide, how will they feel after they work with me, and where are they now, and where do they want to be?
So hang on. So she reminded you of that sequence?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. She sounds like my kind of gal.
Yes. And I said that I offer them peace of mind, confidence, and that I can help them dream out bigger, beyond their short-term goal. That attention to copyright can save them time and give them the confidence to put their stuff out there, and receive attention and the possibility of fame and more success and money. So pushing beyond the obvious results. And that's something that's completely new to me.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
And that was prompted in Kate Beter's workshop. And it, when she was saying that to people, you know, talking
Saying,
as she was showing people how to dream bigger, that you might bring the client to fame and fortune. And, you know, I sort of laughed at that. And I said, well, now that's kind of, you know, reaching out there. But I began to embrace that and realize that I was being too small.
Mm-hmm.
Now I asked, now when do I tell this client that they are open for fame and fortune? And she said, well, maybe not right away. you know, get them from where they are to where they want to be, and then open things up farther.
So what did you feel about your ability to get information to questions and to unresolved issues?
I felt more open, more capable. Through this whole process, to not prejudge or assume, try to work with just what the fact is, what happened or what was presenting itself, and not try to overanalyze it. Because I would typically blame myself for whatever occurred around it, and just go with, here's what happened, that is what the fact is, and try not to rationalize around it or make excuses for the person or excuses for myself, but just be in the moment with it.
Mm-hmm. And so does that feel like maybe some relief came out of it?
It was a new thought to me. And so yes, I'm still processing, trying not to think into it, but that,
well, the key is that it's a new thought. Because okay, you know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that?
That it's a new way for me to be present in the moment and be open.
And therefore, therefore it didn't come from your head. It came from someplace else. It didn't come from your rational mind. It landed as an answer from your higher realm, because you would not have thought of it, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's just like when the two of you have heard me give an example about something, and then I'll say to you, I've never used that example before. I haven't even thought of that example before, which is proof that I'm getting information from my guidance. Remember, both of you, do you recall me saying those kinds of things?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So that's evidence that it's coming from outside my conscious awareness, which is tremendously exciting because it's really more proof that it's coming from a guidance place. You see what I mean?
Right. Yes.
So that's what I'm saying to you, Barb. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
good.
The reasons I can successfully have additional speaking workshop appointments, my style of teaching is unique and fun and fills a need, and I'm perky and personable. I'm good at curriculum development, research, presentation, and procedures development.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the strengths that I bring to this speaking endeavor.
Yes, beautiful. And you got that organized out of your conversation with her?
That was still during that conversation.
Okay, good. I mean, that didn't come from your Kate Beaters thing. That came from you doing this warm-up number. Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, Mary, how do you think Barb did?
Well, that was amazing.
And
Essie is a sassy so-and-so, and maybe they do have a liquid refreshment in something, but she's, and I see a she, she's an alter ego that is going to move you forward.
Right. Right, so don't lose her phone number, Barb.
Right.
Put her in your phone. I'm so technologically imbued here. That was fabulous, Barb. Congratulations. And we both know, Barb and I both know you, Mary, just had a colossal time because you met up with your brother, which I know you did not intend. It never crossed your mind. It truly came from the development of your psychic channels. All right, so are we ready to move on to warm-up number two?
Okay.
Sure.
So warm-up number two was you starting to analyze just the physical plane steps of what it takes to do the research and reach out to the proper people via phone, via email, via whatever, and to identify, take the time to chart out the steps that you need to take to acquire a public speaking appointment. And your dream team, where you would ideally have helpers on all these different classifications of things that have to get done, you know, very similar to a chef that's cooking in a kitchen, and that chef has all these sub-chefs or other helpers to do parts of what it takes to have a meal preparation go smoothly, swiftly, efficiently until that meal is delivered. So who would like to talk about those 3 points again? What did you learn about yourself? What more did you learn about your mission? And what more did you learn about the connection between your talk topic and your mission? Who'd like to go first? And anything else, obviously, that you want to share about that experience? We all know that Mary's in love with her dream team and wants them to come over for tea, like, 20 minutes after we hang up today.
Right.
Absolutely.
I love the job titles. I love the job titles.
Yeah.
Concierge. And then speaker wrangler, I think.
Yes.
That's very realistic. I.
Okay, who wants to go first on this one?
Well, I can, because I had fun, because it was being able to just assign tasks and not think about, well, who actually is going to do this? And then about all the moving parts of having a speaker business and the reality of it, but I didn't have to address, well, who is going to do this? So that was a self-awareness of, yes, you know, the components and stuff that has to get done. However, you can be calm in this moment because you're not being called on to do all of those tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But it reaffirmed that it is my mission to be speaking to women who are feeling that they're silent and invisible. And
mm-hmm.
so putting me out there involves all these steps.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
just the awareness, the next level of the process is how. I didn't have to know how right this minute, but I did have to make myself aware of the components that I'm not aware of and plugging them into the next phase will be where we go.
So was there any, that's fabulous. Now, was there anything further that you learned between your talk title and your mission that you didn't already know? Any special word or feeling or depth of insight that was beyond what you already knew?
Well, the insight was that I have this gut instinct that I'm on the trajectory, and I was meant to take this class, and Barbara and I are power partners, and we're going to be lifting each other up and moving forward.
Yeah. Say the first part again, the part about, I missed it. For some reason, I missed it. I asked, was there a more in-depth perception about the connection, the connection between your talk title and your mission that was beyond what you already knew? Would you please repeat your answer to that part?
Beyond what I already knew in the language, no, but in the confidence and the clarity that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now and working with you and with Barb, that I had a session with a photographer last week who asked me about, do you know somebody about can advise me about copyright?
Oh my God.
No kidding. And I was like, well, and it occurred, and I said, well, yeah, I can put you in touch with, and then it occurred to me today, why aren't you going to do a Zoom call with both of them so that you can be more knowledgeable and explain things to Barb when you bring somebody to her? So it was just like, okay, that's on my list.
Very
mm-hmm.
cool. Very cool. And I just have to throw in here that I've decided to go to Katrina's
public speaking
thing in Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I'll go then. If you're going to go, maybe I'll go.
And my roommate is named Gail. And in looking at her site, I saw pictures. She lives in Concord, California. And I'm
uh-huh.
sure I saw Mary's picture in some of her pictures because it was labeled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she a QuickBooks person?
She's an accountant kind of person, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Gail Bode.
Yeah. Yes,
so I
Gail
said,
Bode.
Whoa, wait a minute here, wait a minute
uh-huh.
here, you know?
Uh-huh.
Two worlds.
No, it's
right.
synchronicity at work. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, Anything else about warm-up number two that you want to share, Mary dear?
No, that was
okay.
Great.
That was great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Barb, mic's in your hand.
Yes, as I went through this, of course, I realized there were more things that needed to be laid out, and that there's a lot of steps. And after reading Mary's, I see a couple of things that I need to add to mine. In terms of tying in with my topics, let's see, where are we here?
Your topics and your mission, the two together. You see, let me just back up and explain where I'm coming from. It's a continuation of why I created that mission-driven marketing and money course.
Mm-hmm.
It's because for me, everything starts with mission. Mission, purpose, I'm using them interchangeably right now. It's mission that's going to keep us going with motivation to tackle whatever needs to be tackled. It's mission that drives us to be confident and unwavering in the face of perhaps a lot of disapproval, a lot of dissent. It's mission that keeps us getting back on the horse when we get disappointed and thwarted. It's mission that has us feel like we're using our time and our energies properly. If we don't have that sense of mission tied to our offers, tied to our reason for doing our business, then it's very easy to start losing the success habits that we need to be implementing and the courage to keep stepping out besides our comfort zone. So I just wanted to revisit with you why I have mission as the floor upon which all this else emerges. Now, that mission could also not necessarily be your business, but it's something that you want, and your business will fund it. So, you know, with you, Barb, your mission, your passion of human trafficking, if you ever found some organization or service that you wanted to fund that was established to help stop or catch people who are perpetrating human trafficking, and you knew your business was going to be that source of income, that would drive you to step out more because you would have a link between your offers and your mission. You see what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I keep talking about mission in this way. So please continue. The question is your topic connected to mission.
Well, my mission, I believe, is to teach and to inform and to encourage. And so I sort of had several topics that came to mind, and it was a little bit difficult to rein things in to something a little, you know, manageable. The research process was very enlightening because
research in terms of organizations and things like that.
Yes, and looking for the statistics and the quotations. I found some more resources that I hadn't been aware of prior. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to look at some materials by Tom Antion, who is a speaker guru, I guess. And he talked about choosing your target audience and that it would be your natural audience. And I found that very profound. Relaxing into my natural audience.
What does natural mean to you that you found it profound?
Things that I know and can connect with, people I can connect with. Maybe it's a comfort zone thing. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Well, if you are using natural as a synonym for purpose-aligned or soul-aligned, then we're saying the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you're thinking? That it's a natural fit because these are the people that you're meant to serve, like your purpose people?
Yes, although you express it much more profoundly.
Well, hang on. What I'm doing is we're searching to see the languaging and the paradigms that reach you, that are your language, that speak to the kind of character, personality, guidelines of life that are comfortable for you. So that's what I'm doing right now. So is that what you're saying? Is that why the word natural had such a resonance for you?
I felt it as you don't have to force a square peg into a round hole. I don't have to choose a target audience because I think I should. I can choose the target audience that feels natural to me.
I get it. And so now the piece that I'm going to kind of crochet hook back in is that when you are exploring and understanding what your mission is, the passion of your mission, and the reason why you're doing what you're doing naturally, well, I better not use that word, will easily reveal who your natural audience is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's true. When a person just goes about choosing a target niche market out of thin air, it's very definitely trial and error, and there's a lot of wear and tear. And that's really not such a hot way to do it. The better way to do it, the one that's going to be more sustainable, is to know what it is that you are committed to accomplishing in this life and for whom, and what's important to you about doing that for people, and then who are those people? And then that's your natural audience.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help at all?
Yes.
So the word natural, all that it embodies, is indeed the result. When a person is clear about what they are compelled to bring out into the world, in business, in a personal life, wherever, because it's so much of the essence of who they are, and then they will find people who will hear them out and who will welcome what they have to say. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So tell me how that helped you.
We've been talking about that I have something of value to offer and that the right people will.
Right, and that's your yeah. sleazy saleswoman buster.
Yes. Yes, and so this bringing out, this being my essence coming out, and that it will be received by the right people, all fits with that.
Yes, exactly. Good. So I would think that you feel a little more homogeneous now, that these concepts aren't disjointed. Is that true?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. My intention is to bring all these pieces together so that all the pieces that have to happen in running a business will become not easy, but will become like intuitive, where it just flows because the one main foundation piece is nailed down, and that is your mission. Your mission, because you care about something, and that caring is important enough for you to do what it takes to have a business. And in having a business, all these pieces have to sew, S-E-W, have to sew back into your mission, or else people don't walk their talk. They don't follow through. They procrastinate. They feel like they're being frauds, too pushy, too this, too that. And it all gets handled when a person knows what it is that they just have to do something to help in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the essence of what I'm saying to you. Okay, Barb?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And so anything about your dream team, or are you ready to move on?
I'm ready to move on. I'm going to have to pay them well because I'm expecting a lot of them.
Well, Mary, what do you hear is the undercurrent to what Barb just said?
Well, it's her gremlins. It's like, do I value myself enough to create, gather around me what's going to support me and nurture me?
Yes, and that your ideas and your needs and your intentions are somehow wrong and open to being criticized.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So I would say that that's something for you to talk to SE about, because that's something she will bring you other perspective about. I'll certainly bring you other perspective. Mary will certainly bring you other perspective. But coming from her, SE, and other spirit guides will touch your soul in ways that are very, very deep. And which is why you continue to work with me, is because you're very committed and you are healing that, yes, it's gremlin, but more importantly, and the bully, as we talked about before, Barb, but it's also a programmed absence to have the right to be happy and proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Absence for you to have the right to be happy and proud of yourself. Is that accurate about you?
Yes.
Okay. So we're healing that, and these spirit guides are all part of that, because they'll be able to, they know you through and through, and you can talk to them about that. So again, you could sit down with SE and ask her, what's up with this? And see what she has to say, okay?
Yes.
Wonderful. And thank you, Barb, for just, you know, putting it out there.
Sometimes I don't know that I'm putting it out there.
Well, that's because I hear things differently than most people. You know, a lot of people would have just let that one go, but that's just not the way I am. And, you know, that's part of my value, is hearing the unsaid, you know. Great. So we'll move on to warm-up number 3, which is the talking about action steps that you have to take that would connect each of your topics to where you're going to talk about those topics. So action number 1 was getting the topics identified, so you would have your treasure trove of signature talks, and you would, action step number 2 is connecting a couple of audiences to that would be appropriate for that topic. And then action number 3 would be to find some kind of statistics, quotes, story, testimony, something that would embellish and bring credibility to the point that you're making in your topic. So who wants to go first to tell me again, tell us, number 1, what did you learn about yourself in warm-up number 3? How, what did you learn about your mission in warm-up number 3, and how, and what did you learn about the connection between your topic to your mission that got revealed in homework number in warm-up number 3?
Well, I'll go, since it's, all of this is very close. It's very fresh. I feel like I just did it. What I learned about myself was that I have been passionate about women speaking up for themselves for a long time, that they don't wait until they have a health crisis to take care of themselves and make themselves a priority. And that going through making 3 topics, they all are nuances of the same message. And so I think that underscores that I don't have to come up with a lot of different material, that I use the same language in a different order or with different examples to give a fresh talk to the audience that's in front of me, and they're not going to feel like they're getting something canned that, oh, if you've gone to hear her speak once, you've heard everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, the mission and my understanding of my the collaboration and the accumulation of my talk and my mission, they are the same essence with different language.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, is there a different impact, is there a slightly different impact that the different talks have, or do you feel that it's the same impact?
Well, it depends on, they all have impact. It's meeting the audience where they are as far as their confidence level number one, their writing ability, number two, that open being open to exploring the creative being that they are, and that writing is a way that they are going to express themselves. And so in that sense, it's getting the comfort level of what are you going to be willing to listen to and take on.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Did you learn anything else about you, just you, in warm-up number three?
What I learned about me is that I'm too easily willing to skim the surface and not go deep.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good learning. I mean, that's very good awareness, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, Barb, warm-up number three.
I'm not quite sure what to say. I have three different talks. One is aimed more toward educators. One is aimed more toward small businesses. And the third is a little more general, but toward creatives. Writers and photographers and artists and whatnot. And so there can be some overlap among the audiences, and there are some similar materials that I might use with each one. But the sources of possible audiences, the resources to search may be very different. And as I said earlier, I had a little difficulty in reining myself down to three. At first I thought, I won't be able to come up with three, and then boom, 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 there are all these other things coming up. And I realized that the title is so vital to attract and engage, and so that's something I will continue to work on.
Okay, I get it. So in terms of what you learned about yourself in this process of warm-up three, share with us a couple of tidbits.
Um, I have basically the same message or the same tools in some cases, but again geared to the needs of the audience. That I would like to continue to refine and hone in on. That message and the audience for whom it is meant.
Okay, good. So that's something that you can do. Please write that down in your notes somewhere.
Yep.
That's something that you can do when we get to that exercise. All right?
Okay.
Very, very good. That shows that you are, that your creativity is being engaged and that your bully and gremlins are not stronger than your creative drive, right? You see that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because if your gremlins and your bully were stronger, you wouldn't even have that curiosity. Do you see what I mean? It would be outshouted by them telling you in just so many words, why bother, don't bother, you're stupid to bother.
Yeah. Yes, I get it. Yes. Yeah.
Great. All right. So we are going to take a break. We'll come back in 5 minutes. Don't you think now's a good time to take a break?
Sure.
Now's a great time.
Yeah. And so when we come back, we're going to go into the component parts of the talk presentation. And then we're going to meet your dream team. So I think that I will turn off the recording, but I will stay on the line. And then when you're back, just say, I'm back. So right now I have 3:55 my time. So I guess it would be 4 o'clock we come back in 5 minutes. Is 5 minutes enough, guys?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Okay, good. So I'll see you back here in 5.
See you soon.
Okay, we are now on chapter 2 of class number 1. Now what we're going to do is work with our handouts, and we're going to go over these various benchmarks, kind of like component parts that a talk really needs in order for us to put together a combination of get their attention, keep their attention, have them know that it was worth it for them to give us their attention and to work with us or meet with us later on. So let's have us open up your workbook to page 19. I shared two models here. One is Suzanne Evans's model, and the other is a model that I've learned from other of my speaking coaches from when I was doing more public speaking years ago, as I mentioned. And what I'd like you to notice is that I'm going to be using terms. And I'd like you to just take a moment and get familiar with what is on pages, just a second. What is on pages 20 through 29? So you know where you can take notes as I go along because, excuse me, actually, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the right page numbers. Yes, I was right. Page 19, as you can see, are the two formats. And then after that, starting on page 20, all the way through 29, are those categories for you to take notes. And I'm going to be jumping around. So I'm just suggesting that you become familiar with what those bullet point words are so that you'll be able to organize your note-taking. So I'm going to start with Suzanne's model. And the first one is inspire. Now, inspire is typically where you are telling your story, where you're giving the overview of, you know, what your purpose is in having this conversation with them. And you're going to tell them what you're going to tell them, which is kind of a fun expression in the world of public speaking. Tell them what you're going to tell them. And then you tell them. And then you remind them later that you did tell them what you said you were going to tell them. And then it's, now let's do something about it. That's my paraphrasing of the map of a talk, is you are moved to give them this talk because you've been inspired. Your life has shown you some things, and your life has also shown you a problem, and you think they might have that problem. And because of your story and because of your mission, you are now going to tell them what they can do should they have that problem. All of that goes into inspire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody have any questions about this concept of inspire and what goes into it? Good. Now let's jump to page 24, where we've got this format number 2. And now I'm going to give you the parallels of how that same information gets plugged into this particular model format. There's the hook, there's the purpose, there's the agenda. Those three would fit into the inspire category. What's different here is that I'm breaking down inspire with actual words. However, I did say that in the inspire, you're sharing your story. You're sharing with them why you think it's important to be talking to them, and that your purpose is to identify what could be a problem that they're experiencing, and then your intention is to help them cope with it, resolve it, at least move forward in their life. And then later on, of course, you're going to be available to be that solution. So do you see how inspire from Suzanne's model or format is completely in alignment with the second one? Do you see that?
Yes.
So yes. How do you like what I'm doing right now? How does this all feel to you?
It's useful to look
sense.
At different models.
Great. Yes, it's useful. It makes sense. How is it making you feel? For some reason, I'm being asked to ask you to give me some emotions of what you guys are feeling.
I hear the word calm, but it's more like confirmation and moving, and I hear smooth sailing, but it's not specifically, it's calmer waters.
yes, it's calmer because it's all make, like you said, it makes sense, and it's tying things together, so it's a natural progression. It's a smooth movement from one piece to the other. Right?
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Okay. Now we're going to go back up to the Suzanne's model, and we're back on page 19, 20. We're actually on 20. So the next one is educate. It could be page 19. So the next one is educate. Now this is where you are bringing forth your expertise on identifying what the problem is and some solutions to better understand and cope with that problem and give them enough resolution or solution where it makes sense, but not give them too much where they think that they have it all figured out, because if they did have it all figured out, they wouldn't be in that position. They still could use some support to help implement. Okay? They still could use some support to help implement. So educate is where you come in with your teaching points, and those teaching points are all geared towards leading them to your offer. Those teaching points are making a statement about certain things that are very important. And then your offer is going to take those points that are very important and have them learn more about those important points in their life. And a more thorough solution of what you can do for them, as opposed to in the talk, all they are being shown is a tip of an iceberg, and at least they know what the tip of the iceberg looks like, whereas before there was no iceberg and they certainly didn't see any tip because they just didn't know enough. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what educate is, essentially. And now we're going to jump to the other model, which is on page 29, I think. And what we're doing is, well, we could also go to page 20. I mean, you see where I am. Page 24 also gives that same list of bullet points. So the body is where you would be delivering your teaching points. The agenda was where you said, okay, here's the problem, and I have some ideas about this problem, and I'm going to teach you what to do when you encounter this problem. That's my agenda. That's my purpose. That's why I'm here today. This is what I'm going to do for you today. Now here it comes. Okay? That's where the body is. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Mary, you see that, huh?
So you went from the body to the agenda.
No. Yes, I did. Okay. What I meant was, we're showing the flow of how the agenda feeds into the body.
Uh-huh.
Because what we're doing is we are taking them on a journey. And the journey is, I'm here because there's a problem. I really care about this problem. I got a feeling you have this problem, or else you probably wouldn't be in this audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are some tips, and when I present these tips to you, it's going to bring you this kind of information. Now here is that information. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, great. So now let's go back up to Suzanne's model. Now we're on invite. what we've done in the educate is we've agitated, and we have agitated the fact that now they have a better sense that they have a problem. They have a better sense of the nuances and complexities and the way in which that problem is probably showing up in their life and what they should do about it. And so you're going to invite them to explore that and to be thorough in how those issues really do exist in their life. And that's where you present your offer. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And when you are presenting your offer, you are including what the benefits are. I mean, you've heard me say this ad nauseum. When you present the offer, you have to let them know the benefits and the results that they will get from participating in that offer with you. So invite comes as a natural flow after you've educated them. That's what education-based marketing is all about, mm-hmm. is that it heightens a person's awareness as to what's really going on that they may have missed and the level of discomfort of that going on in their life. And I'm not going to leave you hanging high and dry. Here is my offer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's jump to the other model. How are you doing, Barb? Is this all making sense to you?
Yep.
Great. So in the other model, if we just stay on page 19, now we're talking about transition. The transition is where you have reiterated that you were going to tell them a certain thing, and now you are reiterating that you did tell them that. Remember, I said, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, then remind them that you were going to tell them. See how that works? Here you are reminding them. Here you are in the transition phase. You are pointing out to them that you're reminding them that the issues were there, and now you know more about them, and now you can see how much this may be living in your life. And that's called the transition period, where you're integrating the problem identified with what you taught them about that problem, and you're leading them to the solution for those who want it. That's what the transition is. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mary, do you have any questions, Mary?
No.
Okay. So the key is that after you've taught them something, it's critical to find the bridge from the information that you just gave them to remembering what their need is. So we're going to come back to the transition in a minute, and we're also going to come back to the hook, and we're going to come back to what I wrote in the section where I gave a little more description to Suzanne's format, which is the whiplash. We're going to come back to that. So in the transition, or in the invite stage, you now are presenting the offer and you're making it very clear what the value is to them. However, you're not done yet. Because in Suzanne's version, it's called motivate. And in the other format, it's still all part of the call to action. And that key that you have to have is urgency, as you've learned from me many, many, many times. And the way you create urgency is through some form of what they call limiters. A limiter is where there is an expiration time or only a certain number of slots that can be filled by a certain date. Or you can only fit in X number of people by such and such a date. I mean, I'm saying the same thing from just using different words. Because it's that will help them quickly associate to how much do I want this. If they know that the first five people get an outstanding bonus, that's a limiter. That is a urgent driving strategy. If they know that the cost is going to be this low just until the end of today, that's a limiter. That's a very clearly defined, you got to take action now or else you're going to miss out. So motivate means find a limiter. Find a way that if they do this now, they win. And if they don't do this now, they lose. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's the exact same concept as when you're in your enrollment conversation and you have a decisive action bonus that if they make their decision to come work with you in that conversation or within 24 hours, they get X, Y, and Z. And then after that, X, Y, and Z is gone. Right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right, so that's the basic formula in terms of plugging in these big pieces like your story and your mission and why it's important to you to be teaching on this topic and your purpose in terms of what you want to impact them with by sharing your mission and your expertise with them, and then teaching them that information and then immediately tying it back to how their life looks now, and now that they know more than they did before you started talking, how are they feeling about what's going on in their life? And, well, that's great because I have a solution for you. And if you act now, then you'll get this extra blah, 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 or you'll be able to get this done in the next week. Otherwise, you have to wait 2 months. You know, all these things is what people can do as a limiter to develop urgency. You with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's take a look at the inspiration, the inspire, and the hook. So inspire is Suzanne's version, and the hook is the second format. Suzanne introduced me to this concept called a whiplash. And the whiplash is the same thing as a hook. The only thing is that a whiplash is really meant to do exactly what a whiplash does, which is to be jarring. It's to get your attention so that you can quickly see this might be going on in my life or this is going on in my life and I didn't realize how yuck it is, how undesirable, how I've been tolerating this for so long, how I have been maybe even suffering because of this. That's what a whiplash does. So I'm going to give you one of the examples that Suzanne gave us, and I'm choosing this because it Mary's a mom. And I chose this one also for you, Barb, because you do this to yourself in other ways, and I'll explain more in a minute. So here's an example of a whiplash. This is straight out of Suzanne's class. So how many of you are moms? Great. So it looks like about 90% of you are. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but there is a new statistic out from Harvard Medical that says, now she made this up. I mean, I doubt very much that there is this statistic, but she made it up for us so that we could see using statistics and a credible source like Harvard Medical, and all of these things build credibility and get people's attention, and you're going to zip them with something in just a minute, meaning it's a zinger. So I'll start that part over again. I don't know if you knew this, but there is a new statistic out from Harvard Medical that says that 92% of mothers on a daily basis struggle with some form of depression around feeling guilty about not being a good enough mom. Well, that means that out of all of you that just raised your hand, only about 3 or 4 of you have not experienced that guilt. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you agree with that because the statistics show that you do. So that's her whiplash. Now, the reason I thought of that for you, Barb, is because, no, you're not a mom with a kid, but you certainly feel guilty about stuff a lot, not being good enough. So I thought, I'm going to use that one. And I know that Mary, So, what was your reaction when you listened to it? I'm going to go through it again without the editorializing so you can get the momentum and the impact. Here we go. How many of you in here are moms? Great. About 90% of you. Well, I don't know if you know this, but there's a new statistic out from Harvard Medical that says that 92% of mothers on a daily basis struggle with some form of depression around feeling guilty about not being good enough as a mom. That means that out of all of you that just raised your hand, only about 3 or 4 of you have not experienced that guilt. And now I'm not going to ask you if you agree with that because the statistics show that you do. That's the whiplash. So how did that make you feel?
Well, it's very
certainly
Suzanne.
Got my attention.
Yes, it's very Suzanne.
Okay, why did it get your attention?
It could be real.
Okay. You could see yourself in that position, right?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. What about you, Barb? Aside from, yes, very Suzanne, which is very true, what was your reaction to this? Even though you're not a mom, what came up for you?
Yes, that it's probably true, and I could identify with it. It wasn't outrageous. It was conceivable.
Good. Okay. So here's another whiplash that I came up with. And that is, how many people woke up today saying, why does being a business owner have to be so hard? How many of you woke up feeling that way today? That's a whiplash. So how did that feel when I said that to you?
Depressing.
But do you ever feel that way?
No, it's just, yeah, but it got me. It's just like, oh, she's talking to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Exactly. How about you, Barb?
Yeah, I could very much hear myself saying that.
Right. So that's a whiplash. That's a hook. That's a whiplash. Because what you're doing is you are zeroing in on what you think you're pretty accurate to assess are the vulnerabilities, Achilles' heels, the things that are hurting your audience. Okay? You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, another way to set up this hook is, I'm going to give you a couple of more examples, is that you can put that hook pretty much anywhere. However, usually the hook is at the very beginning because you want to get their attention, the very beginning of your talk. So you say, hi, and so glad to be here, and thank you for that great introduction. Let me ask you a question, and then bam, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's one place you can do it. Another place you can do it is after you've gone through the education teaching points, you want to create this transition from what you just taught them, you the expert, you having accurately identified points that this audience is interested in and you want to segue it into them listening to your offer with very open receptivity. So you could insert the whiplash in there. Okay? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That would be your transition, going from the body to the call to action, to use that second model. Now, this also is just a series of questions that you, both of you, from working with me, you've heard me talk about starting off with questions at, in a talk or even in an enrollment conversation. So I'll give you an example of the hooks that I used when I just recently gave my talk a couple of months ago. So I was introduced and I said hello and I, you know, warmed up the room and then I said, so who wants more ease in their lives? Who wants to know that your efforts are taking you where you really want to go? Who wants more money doing what you love while having lots of fun in the process? So all of those people I knew were on that kind of page. And then I said, now, here's the other question. Who here knows that our world needs a lot more light in our lives? And that was more like my little whiplash in there. Who knows in their heart of hearts that this world needs more light? So I had those other questions to get them warmed up. And then I went into something that was a little more tender. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was from that talk. Another talk was, I don't know if you were at this one or not, Mary, a long time ago. I don't think you were at this one. But here were the hooks that I opened this talk for. It was when I talked at an eWomen presentation years ago. And so I said, why are you here in this lifetime? What were you born to do? Who were you born to be? Not just what you like to do, not just what you think you should like to be, but what you were built to do and who you were meant to be in this lifetime. What is your soul purpose? And does your business express your soul purpose? So that's how I started that one out way back when.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what those questions did for you from either of those talks as a hook.
They're pretty heavy and pretty encompassing as far as purpose. And are you here doing what you were put on this planet to do?
Mm-hmm. And so did it wake you up? Did it push you away? How did it make you feel?
So that leaning in is like, I'm not sure. Are you going to tell me how I can find out what I'm supposed to be doing?
Right. Good. How about you, Barb? Thanks, Mary.
They are geared for an obvious answer. Because if anybody says yes anywhere along the line, you know, that's it. It's over. So they are geared to grab the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The question, and in your heart of hearts, who here knows that we really need more light in our world? That was something that my guides gave me as I was driving to this venue. So that told me that the people there were already sensitive to the fact that there is an absence of love, light, higher spiritual values. So I included it in there, you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, here we're going to go into you meeting your team and writing your talk with these areas being addressed, with you getting input from your guides. That's what we're doing next. So what I would suggest you do is to get ready by turning to page 30, which is where you'll start taking your notes of your designing these different parts with your spirit guides. So does anybody need to take a quick restroom break? Are you all set and ready to go?
No, I'm ready.
Okay. What we're going to do is I'll give you a few minutes for you to work with your team or one or two of your spirit team members on these different points. So there's going to be two parts to this deep dive that we're about to do. One part is you actually meeting them. And as I mentioned in, I guess it was an email or somewhere, that even if your team is larger than four beings, we're just going to be focusing on four. And so let me just find another page for you here. When you first meet them, you're going to fill out this description of their name, appearance. If you go to page 4, it's where you'll find your very first page to take notes on meeting your first spirit guide. So what will happen is you're going to meet them first, and you're going to find out what each specialty is of those four. Now that you know what your dream team would look like and what their jobs are, you're going to see who here fits those parameters, right? You with me so far?
Now, these are the dream team that we designed.
Right. And you're going to meet them.
Okay.
You're going to meet them. Now, in your own practicing, you would work with your gatekeeper to bring them in, but for the sake of time, we're going to do the necessary protection and hang on a second. I just reasoned something. Hang on. You would do what you did in your warm-up, where you work with your gatekeeper and your higher self to meet whoever. That should be part of your basic protocol. However, for now, all of that is already in place. And so we're just going to go right straight to you meeting these particular dream team members. So you can see that you've got plenty of space when I start talking to you about experiencing your spirit guide number one, and then the next page is spirit guide number two, and so on. And so you're going to meet them. You're going to find out who they are in relationship to the dream team that you feel you need, that you did in your warm-up. And then some of them will step back, and you'll be working with one or two to write your talk. Now, this talk is obviously a draft. However, you know enough to know how to focus each of those sections and to get their input on as to what you should write in each section. And if you find that you will be leaning more towards detail and specifics, you'll probably want to find those pages that correspond with format number two, which is the one that breaks it down more. Right, you with me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the two areas of your workbook that you might want to dog ear or put something to be able to flip back and forth easily would be on page 4, where you start to meet the different team members, and the pages after that, and then actually working to write your talk, which begins on page 30. Do you see page 30 over there? Mm-hmm. Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go into this, does anybody have any questions?
No.
How do you feel about what we're going to do next?
Oh, I'm a little
Bring
scared
it on.
Because I don't know if they'll if they'll show up, or and
okay.
if I'll let them speak, or if my ego will get in the way.
That's right. You'll always have that as a possibility, and so we'll see what happens. In which case, like you did the other day, Barb, you told us that you said, "Look, I'm just going to sit here until somebody shows up," right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're going to do now. Now, what did you say, Mary?
I said, "Bring it on."
Okay. All right, so let me just, now another thing I wanted to tell you is that I wanted to have you revisit a couple of exercises that you learned from the spring cleaning course so that we're always revisiting so you can strengthen those skills. So I'm going to be playing a recording of part of one of those exercises, and then I will step in and continue it from there. So we're going to work with the inserting the replica of yourself as being a doll into that bright sun so that you are able to just clear out a lot of crud. And at the same time, we're going to move into that second exercise where you went up a short set of stairs to raise your vibration. Do you remember that exercise?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so get yourself ready and go ahead and close your eyes. You've taken in a tremendous amount of mental information. I am so proud of you both. And now we're going to go into bringing more of heaven to earth. And let's begin by you sending down your grounding cord. It was already established from the beginning of our class, but now you're going to strengthen it. Clean it off if it needs to be cleaned off. Your grounding cord is down. You have tubes of light from the soles of your feet going deep into the earth so that you breathe in the earth energy up through the soles of your feet, up through your solar plexus, and then you exhale down your grounding cord. And while you do that, you have a ball of light above your head. And that ball of light is the presence of your soul. And you call your soul home. And you notice the activity of energy as colors and shapes and movement from the future comes back into this ball of light, so that you are calling your soul home from the future to be in present time. And you notice colors, shapes, movement that comes from the past as that moves into present time in the ball above your head. It gets bigger and stronger, more and more divine, as you bring your soul home to present time. And that energy now trickles down through the top of your head and moves down your entire body, filling you up the way a beautiful, magnificent elixir is poured into a glass. And you are filled up with the light of your soul. And you notice that there is a stream of light that is moving through the center of your chest, and it pours out into the space around you. It pours out, creating this exquisite bubble of golden white light. Above your head, below your feet, a perfect cocoon of light. And the blue flame appears at the very top of that cocoon of light. And at the count of three, the blue flame will completely seal in your cocoon of light. Taking a deep breath in and exhale, the flame moves to the right, underneath your feet, up the left, and meets at the top. And another deep breath in and exhale, the blue flame flows forward underneath your feet, up the back, meets at the top, and relax. And another deep breath in and exhale. The blue flame flows all around you, sealing all open areas. You are completely protected and encased in this magnificent blue flame of protection as you establish your personal sacred space. Focusing now on the center of your head, and you see a beautiful chair, a throne, a comfortable couch, whatever it might be, in the center of your head where you now sit. You notice that at the base of your head is a trap door, and right attached to that trap door is a tube that flows outside of your head and completely parallels your body and continues down, 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 and connects into your grounding cord. This is a chute that you're going to now use, because inside the center of your head, you want to let go and get rid of any thought forms and emotions born of yourself or that you've picked up from the outer world that is obsolete, and you want it out of there. You want a clean house. And so you take some cosmic Windex or sand blaster or water blaster, and you start to clean all walls, all surfaces of the center of your head, and it flushes down that trapdoor. You can see it just shoot right out of there and connects into the grounding cord. It goes deep into the earth, where magnificent Mother Earth transmutes and transforms. So that whatever you're letting go of becomes healing energy, more love, more power. So that Earth and those who tap into that energy stream thrive. And you're sitting in the center of your head, completely calm and peaceful. And now you want to let go of additional energies that you may not be able to see that might be lodged in your energy field, in your chakras, in the layers of your different spirit bodies that just don't help you. So what I'd like you to do now is to imagine and see in your hands right now a beautiful little doll that represents you. And right in front of you is a huge ball of light. It is a loving ball, and it is a powerful, healing, transformative ball of light. And now, in just a moment, you're going to move that doll. And before you do, silently declare to yourself, I declare that I am clearing out other people's energies and that I am opening up to my highest expression of my soul purpose path in this lifetime. I declare that I am activating my gifts now. And take this little doll and just insert it into that ball of light and just notice what you see. Notice what happens. I declare that I am clearing out other people's energies and that I am opening up to my highest expression of my soul purpose path in this lifetime. I declare that I am activating my gifts now. And pull the doll back. And take some deep breaths. And we're going to do it again. But first, repeat your declaration. I declare that I'm clearing out other people's energies and that I am opening up to my highest expression of my soul purpose path in this lifetime. I declare that I am activating my gifts now, and you insert the doll into the light and just keep it there. I declare that I am clearing out other people's energies, and that I am opening up to my highest expression of my soul purpose path in this lifetime. I declare that I am activating my gifts now. And you pull the doll back and notice how you feel. You put the doll down. It's fine where it is. Notice the shifts in you. And now we're going to go one step further in raising your vibration and preparing yourself to meet your spirit team. I'm going to start this recording. You'll remember it. Here we go. To recap, what we have is our cleaning house, which consists of the grounding, the protective shield, only that which is for my highest good is allowed to come into my field, center of head, bring your soul home. And now we're adding this other accelerator tool to really knock out energies that just don't belong in your field and certainly are not serving you in your field. So it's a three-step progression up, and with each step, your vibration is lifting up. So step number one is you visualizing a stairway or visualizing a series of plateaus that you can step onto. Whatever your intuition gives you is imagery. And the first step is completely imbued and radiating and broadcasting out, so that when you step on it, you merge with the vibrations of peace and tranquility. So I'd like you to go and make that step now and sense the vibration of peace and tranquility. And if you can't sense it, then imagine. Use your imagination to sense peace and tranquility. And sense the quality of the air around you. Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it dry? Is it moist? And now please put your attention on the center of your chest, the heart center, and between the set in the center of your breastbone. And notice that your chest is expanding as you are absorbing these vibrations of peace and tranquility. Peace and tranquility. And it absorbs so much that your heart chakra opens. You might get a vision, like a flower or a door that opens or a window that opens. Your intuition will give you a vision, maybe. But if not, just notice what feeling happens, that your heart is opening, and it feels like your heart is being set free. Your heart is set free. And now we move to step two. You see a step in front of you that's a little higher, and you reach with your foot and you step on that stair, that plateau, that platform. And this is the vibration that is broadcasting, that is saturated, that is radiating, the vibrations of love and light. And so feel that love and light. Now see somewhere there that there's a meter, there's like a gauge that has a needle that moves to different positions on the gauge. And this is a meter that determines how much love you feel right now, how much love you're willing to let in. And so notice what you see on that meter. Where does the needle go? Does it go to 100%? Does it go to 50%? Does it go to 300%? How much love are you feeling right now? Perfect. And now what we're going to do is look ahead, now that you are filled with this extraordinary divine love, and you notice ahead of you is a grassy clearing. The grass is this beautiful emerald green. And you walk towards that grassy area, and you notice that there are 4 or 5 chairs all in a circle. And these chairs are comfortable, and they are calling to you. Notice the fragrance of the air and the other foliage around you. As you move towards this circle of chairs and the environment of absolute peace and beauty that is there, and you sit down. As you sit there in your mind's eye with your eyes closed, you ask your gatekeeper, because you know that your gatekeeper is there, to bring to you your perfect spirit team, your dream team of spirit beings that are dedicated, that are expert, that are trained, that are the best fit for you, who have your highest good as their main driving force in helping you build your public speaking, your workshop presentation business. And you know that only those beings that are for the highest and best success for your entire life will come forward. No one else will be allowed. Only those that are for the highest fulfillment of your soul purpose destiny, focusing on this aspect of public speaking, visibility, and teaching others. And as you are sitting there, you notice there are 4 presences coming closer. They appear and then they stop. They're in the distance. You see them. And you can feel the air change. How do you feel emotionally? Just notice. And now one being leaves the group and starts to come closer to you and sits in one of the chairs. Look down at that being's feet. Notice what you see. You are able to open your physical eyes and write in your notes, and then return to close your physical eyes to continue communicating with these being and the others that will come visit you. Just do it as comfortably for you as you can. As you start to raise the angle of your eyes, you see the entirety of this beautiful being. And you notice other features and characteristics. What are they? Write them down if you want to. What is this being's name, or will he or she or it give you some other manner of identification, a symbol, a color, a word, a smell, something will be presented to you so you know how to identify this beautiful being. Notice how you feel in your body and your emotions. And now talk to this guide, thanking him, her, it, for coming to visit you. And ask that being, what role do you play in helping me with my public speaking, my workshop business? And write down what they tell you. Just relax. Let it flow. What is the specialty role that this particular guide plays on your dream team? And now ask, what are the kinds of tasks that this particular being has it as its responsibility as part of a team, as a team player? Ask whatever questions about those tasks so that you're very clear about what this being does in the team for you. And you thank this being for being there for you and for wanting you to succeed. Now you notice there's some activity in the distance again. And another being is leaving the group and is coming towards you. Notice how you start to feel as this being gets closer in proximity. He or she comes and sits down next to your other guide. And again, look down at this guide's feet and notice what their feet look like. And now slowly move your eyes to scan upwards to take in all of this being's appearance and write down what you sense. and make your notes as to what this being's name is or some other identifying manner so that you're clear that you're being presented with a unique identity for this being. Notice how one being feels very different from the other. And ask this being, what is its role on your team? What are its responsibilities, its tasks? And thank this being for being part of your dream, your longing, your desired experience, that he or she is here just for you. And you notice that there is a stirring out in the distance again. And a third being starts to come towards the group here, sitting with you. Again, notice anything at all. Feelings, sensations. And then the being comes to sit down. And again, you look down at the feet and notice what you see. And you slowly elevate your eyes and you take in the entire appearance of this extraordinary divine soul in front of you here. Notice how you feel with this new being that has joined you. Notice how the group feels different now that a third being has arrived. And have this guy describe his or her role on your team and the tasks that are his, her responsibility to perform. And notice how each one is different in terms of the role they play for you. And you thank this being for being dedicated, committed, devoted to you, for your dreams to come true. And now we're going to work on your talk. And perhaps it's the last being that's waiting in the distance, or perhaps it's one of these three here that is the one that's going to help you now in drafting your talk. And so I'm going to be quiet while everyone shuffles, because only the one that is going to be helping you write your talk will stay with you. The others will go back in the distance and wait. It could be the one that's already in the distance, in which case, if it is that being will come forward and you'll go through the same process of noticing what they're like as they get closer, noticing when they sit down and you look at their feet, what you see, noticing what type of name or other manner of identification is given to you. Noticing what they tell you when you ask them, what is your role in this team for me? What are your tasks? What are your responsibilities? I'll be quiet while they shuffle and reorganize, leaving with you the one that will help you write your talk. Okay. The first thing that you're going to do is write down, what is your offer? You can use whatever pages in your workbook. What you're after is the call to action that you're going to present to your audiences. You can write this kind of information starting on page 40 in the miscellaneous notes section. Write down the benefits that this offer will bring to your natural soul-aligned purchasers, customers. And listen to what your guide says about the name that you choose for that offer, if it's compelling enough, if it carries enough of what the results are of benefit in the title itself. And write down three benefits that the audience, the purchaser, will get by purchasing this offer or acting on this offer, whether it's a purchase for money or whether it's a no-cost offer. And I'll be quiet while the two of you, you and your guide, identify the offer. And the benefits, three benefits. This is the call to action that you want them to purchase or sign up for. We're going to move on because this is just to get the ball rolling for you to develop your relationship with your guide, and you will work on this in greater detail at another time. Now you're going to focus on the inspire section of your talk. And what you're going to do with your guide is to write down what part of your story is the most important for this audience to hear, and what is your purpose for presenting this talk to them? What is the part of your story that is most relevant for this audience to hear? And what is your purpose in telling them, presenting them with this topic and talk? Now ask your guide to tell you what it thinks about your talk title. Now that you have identified the part of your personal story that you feel is the best fit for this audience to hear, and you've identified your purpose, your mission in wanting to present this information to this group, does your guide feel that your talk title is strong enough, or does your guide feel you should make some changes in the talk title? And now ask your guide to have you remember a particular client testimony or a particular client story of someone you served who they were very grateful to you about. That would be a really good story to tell at this inspire portion of your talk presentation, and write that down. Now you're going to move to educate, and you're going to write down one highlight topic that you're going to teach your audience that connects to their pain, connects to what's missing for them, connects to your offer being the solution to that problem. Just one talk topic, something that you're going to teach them, just one highlight. And have your guide tell you what that is. One main piece of education. What is that? And the final piece is for you to ask your guide, what is the best way for me to transition from what I've just taught them or would teach them to having them want my offer? Is it a client story? Is it a quote? Is it reminding them of the issues that you know they have? And then how would you present your offer? Work all that out with your guide. How you would word it. And then we're going to wrap this up. You've just taught them a piece of education that agitates their problem, their pain, what they're missing. And now you're telling them something and you are inviting them to participate in your offer. The last piece of that section is, what limiter will you present to them to create urgency for them to take action now? Is it a limited amount of time by when they can participate with this offer? Is it a reduced cost if they take action by a certain time? What is your limiter according to the suggestion or confirmation of agreement with your guide? How will you motivate them to take action now? and you have completed this first rapid-fire draft just to get it out of your head and to collaborate with your guide. You give your guide a warm, beautiful hug, and you feel that incredible love from your guide just fill you. And your guide gets up and goes into the distance to join the others. And you will meet with this team at some time again in the future. And you can identify the name that you want to give this spirit guide committee at another time, if you don't already know what it is. And you can put it in your workbook on page 4. Now it's time to slowly begin to come back to the here and now. And so you go through those steps as you walk out of that grassy, beautiful area, leaving those chairs behind. And you can feel the difference in your body as you leave that rarefied, high, spiritually charged vortex where your guides and you were sitting, and you now come to those stairs that you were on before, and you step on number 3, and then number 2, and then you step on number 1, and you feel the groundedness, and your body adjusts as you start to feel your energies redirect, having returned to more earth vibrations. And when you are ready, you open your eyes and let me know by saying, "I'm here," and take your time.
I'm here.
Wonderful.
I'm here.
Wonderful. So, we are at 5:30. Can you take another 10 minutes, anybody?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So the two things we're going to do now is to debrief on some of your experiences and for me to tell you what your home play is. So let's start with just sharing compelling highlights of this experience for yourself and any questions that you might have for me. And then we're going to go to those Suzanne Evans handouts. So, and take your time because you were just in a very deep place. So don't push anything. It's okay if you sound a little spacey. Whoever is ready to talk, to share your highlights of, and any questions for me.
Why did you ask us to look at their feet?
So that you could narrow your focus. And not try to take in too much, which might cause the ego to start judging and shutting things down. Great question. Any other questions from you or Mary? And then I'd love to hear the highlights so you can share some outstanding parts of your experiences.
I didn't get a specific title for my offer.
What was that? What did you say?
I didn't get a specific title for my offer.
Uh-huh. Is there a question?
I got No, it's observation.
Okay. So that's something that you can work on with your guide, because there's a reason why it didn't come so quickly, and that's a great conversation to have with your whole team, or
mm-hmm.
just that one guide.
Mm-hmm.
Not to worry, there's just more information there for you. That's actually a good sign, because that meant that there's something else that's supposed to come forward so that a right title will be an easy flow. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, yes. The language is very important.
Right. More questions from either of you? Just go ahead.
I wasn't sure if the first guide was speakeasy, was S-E. So I struggled
mm-hmm.
a little with that, because
mm-hmm.
S-E had been such an important part that I thought, well, S-E must be part of this team, too.
But maybe not. Not necessarily. You know, she may play a very different role. Who knows? These are all things for you to find out, and you just, it's a tremendous test of just trusting what you get without any attachment whatsoever. That's the trick in getting guidance, is no attachment to the outcome. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what else do you have as a question?
I just need to take more time with each one and with each step.
Yeah.
Or else ego will take over.
That's right. So first of all, before I go on, do I look and see if either of you have any other questions, and then we'll go into highlights.
No.
Okay, no. How about you, Barb?
No.
Okay, great. So what were some of the highlights of this? How did you like this whole process? How do you feel about your ability to connect with your dream team?
I'm excited to. Yes.
I didn't. Somebody talk, please. I didn't.
I'm very excited about the unique experience. So it's a hybrid of both of us.
Yeah. Because both of your energies, you know, are creating this collective consciousness with all of our spirit guides with us, including our dream teams. And so it's a very special, sacred place we've got here right now. So let me hear some highlights of what you felt were just extraordinary experiences, and also what you feel about your ability to really connect.
I was surprised at the diversity of the guides who showed up, and how, well, I'm surprised, and it was just like in awe of the connection, and that they are extensions of me, and the embodiment of what they can accomplish. I'm just in awe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's definitely awe territory, I must say. Anything else, Mary dear?
I'm a little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want you to feel, I just, understood. I just want to give both of you a chance to say what you need to say so you don't feel when you get off the phone like you have questions or you're left hanging. So that's the only reason that I keep, but if you can't talk, I totally understand that. I've been there many times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How about you, Barb, dear? What were some of the highlights? Anything that you want me to know so that I can support, coach you before we go into the homework?
Just that I struggle with trusting, and I just need to want to accept what comes. I did have one guide who had sneakers on.
Cool.
Because I think that's the one, the researcher who's going to be doing a lot of running.
Mm, I love it. See, now that's pretty amazing, Barb. So my suggestion is that you talk to this dream team, your dream team, and have them help you, give you such detailed messages and evidence and reason to trust so that it's not a blind trust. Have them help you trust this process. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because none of this is meant to be they're more powerful than me or I don't get to ask questions or any stuff like that. They know you're human. They know that this is new territory. They know that these are channels that are being developed between the human self and the spirit world. They know all that. So you asking questions is not being disrespectful. It's understood. You know what I mean?
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad that we're having this conversation because that's an important point to make for anybody to know. So any other highlights before we go into the homework? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let's go ahead and look at the handout of Suzanne's. That is the five steps. Let's see, how does she word it here? Five ways to get speaking gigs. Do you see that one?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And your homework is, between now and when we meet again, is to get one presentation gig. Now, I know I'm asking a lot, but you can do it. One presentation gig. Maybe you won't deliver it between now and our next session because our next session is July 27th, but maybe you can. Maybe it'll be a presentation to a couple of your friends in somebody's living room. Maybe it'll be a presentation in the back of the room at Katrina's thing, Barb.
Right.
You know, maybe it'll be just say to them, you know, that's a perfect environment. Say that you have an assignment to give a presentation, and I'd like to talk to two or three people who's up for it, you know, after dinner since you're sleeping over in the hotel there. See if you can find two or three people. It could even be one person. I don't care. That's not the point. Where you are just going to lay out this entire process of inspire, educate, invite, motivate, where you have a quote, where you have some kind of a whiplash, where you have your client's stories, so you can practice it. So that's your homework assignment, where you at least get the appointment, where you have somebody say yes. Now, the way to do this is in this handout, She says the five steps are you just figure out who's going to be the best people to hear this topic. And you've already done that in a warm-up, and you have your spirit guides to narrow it down. Step number two, where it says what city do you live in, you know, that's not so important for this particular homework assignment. And step number three is all part of what you did in your warm-up, which is, you know, who are the people and where are they located for you to give a presentation to them. And step number four, where she is everybody following me, by the way? I should have asked. We're on page three. Okay.
Yes.
Step number four, do your research, do a Google search with variations of your above answers. That's just another way for you to keep looking to see as many ways of uncovering organizations, meetings, little gatherings, whatever, so that you're able to find people to email or call. And her step number five is to send an email to those people, and all you say is, do you take outside speakers? Now, I have another line to say and to put in an email. And when I find it, I will email you both, and I'll also upload it in our Facebook group, and I'll also include it in our member area webpage. But in the meantime, just do that. Do you take outside speakers? And when they respond to you, you'll just simply, you know, they'll probably say, yes, what do you talk on? And then you have a little outline. It doesn't have to be an elaborate speaker sheet or anything like that. It's just simply, this is my talk type title. These are the benefits or the educational training points. And can we schedule a time to talk if they want to ask you questions over the phone or something like that. For the purposes of this particular homework assignment, it would be better if you can talk to people directly, you know, and go for some sort of an intimate gathering where you just meet with a couple of friends for coffee at Starbucks, and you just say, I have an assignment, and I want to talk to two or more people about this very exciting topic. Can you meet me for coffee? It could be just one person. Do you feel you guys can do that?
Yes.
And so I would suggest that you converse with your spirit guides to make this really easy peasy for you, where you find out from them, should I go for one person to have coffee with where I practice this entire process? Should I attempt to go and find a small group in 2 weeks so that I can get this done for my next class? Work it out with them. The purpose is for you to practice researching where you can find people and then presenting this entire model so that you can feel how it flows. And that's your homework assignment. Now, the other Suzanne Evans one is just something for you to have as a tool, and we can go over that more in our next class. It's not important so much for this one. It's pretty self-explanatory when you look at it. And basically, the first part, the speak-to-sell opportunities, just look at those names, and we'll talk about that in our next session. So that's your assignment, finding one person to just take a walk on the beach with or talk to in your hotel room or talk to at Starbucks where you have their undivided attention, where you are clear about your offer, you are clear about your mission, you are clear about how your offer connects to your mission, and you talk to your spirit team on their very different roles to help you. And that's all she wrote, ladies.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
So let's go around the room real quick and just say what you loved about this class.
I loved how it was a big concept in small chunks.
That's perfect.
Absolutely.
Mary, that's
fantastic.
Yes.
Wait, I lost some of it. But I'm glad you thought it was fantastic, Bob. That makes me feel so good. What did you say, Mary, after you said big concept into small chunks? What was that?
That the giving a talk, and that is enough of a roadblock that so many can shut down right there. But breaking it into the small chunks, the manageable pieces, and having the team that is going to be supporting us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
You're right. You're right. Okay, Bob, honey, what about you? What did you love about this class?
How the warm-ups really just built up and flowed right into the session today. It was all just a complete package.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, having pieces, talking about the pieces of different models, and the whole whiplash thing is fascinating.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with that. Great. Anything else that you two want to say about what you loved about it and how you feel, and then we'll hug each other and say goodbye for now.
I feel that it's possible. Pardon.
What, Barb, why don't you go first?
I feel that this is possible.
Ah.
Yeah, that the homework is possible.
Wonderful.
Not scary.
Wonderful. And how about you? I'm so glad to hear that from you, Barb, really. And what about you, Mary dear?
Yes, the homework is definitely possible. And we went through a lot. I am ready to have something to eat and go to bed.
Yeah, understood.
But Mary, it's only what?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock,
yes.
There.
Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock here.
I'm not saying I would go to sleep. I'm saying I'm ready to, close the door on the office.
Aha. That's
agreed, agreed, agreed. Okay, ladies. Well, I love you dearly. And if you need anything, just put it in the Facebook group. Barb, go ahead and set up a private session. I think, Mary, you're already in the books.
Right.
And if you run into anything that you need questions, no question is silly or anything like that. Okay, guys, good night.
Okay.
Thank you again for staying late.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for,
you're welcome.
Added value.
Yes. Okay, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.